Well, it's a great joy to be here this evening. Thank you for the invitation to come to minister the Word of God. I'm sure our little congregation at Bradford will be remembering us in prayer. I had to explain to them this morning where Martin Top was. I don't think they'd heard of it before, but they'd heard of Clitheroe, so they have a vague idea where I am tonight, and they will be thinking of us. It's good to be with you. It's always good to share fellowship with the Lord's people and to have the privilege of ministering the Word in other churches. And it's particularly good to see that you're using Redemption Hymnal. When I was first converted in my teens, Redemption Hymnal was used by all the chapels that I went to. And then, of course, it fell from use, but it's been reprinted by a different publishing company. And it's good to see that you have nice new Redemption Hymnals here and that you're singing from them this evening. Shall we turn to the Word of God? And I'm going to read some verses from Luke's Gospel. Quite a few verses, actually. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, and I'm reading from verse 31 down to verse 62. It's about 30 verses. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 31, and I'm reading from the Authorized Version. Let us hear the Word of God together. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. Then they took him and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless that reading of his precious word. You've probably gathered from the length of the reading that it concerns the Apostle Peter. And it is on the character of Peter and some points about Peter that I'd like to speak this evening. So it's somewhat of a study in the life and character of Peter, and our thoughts will be centered on him, Peter the Apostle. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he chose 12 men, 12 disciples, 12 apostles. They were learners, they were followers of him in the way. While he was on earth, he referred to them as disciples. They learned from him, and they followed him. They were trained in his school. But after his resurrection and ascension, they were sent out to be his witnesses, and they were then referred to as apostles, those who are sent out, an apostolic ministry. Peter was one of those apostles. Historically, he was born round about the year 1 BC, and he died approximately in AD 67. He was brother to Andrew, the scripture tells us. They were both fishermen. And of course, his name was changed by the Lord Jesus, Simon Peter, being Petra the Rock, Jesus' new name for him. What about Peter's character? Well, Peter's quite a favourite character when we come to looking at the characters of Scripture. But people are often very critical of Peter and find fault with him, and they feel justifiably so, because there are so many instances in the Scripture, we've read some of them in that passage this evening, where Peter failed miserably. And sometimes Christians set themselves up and are very judgmental in their comments concerning Peter, little thinking to look at themselves and to see where their own faults are. Yes, Peter did make many mistakes. He was impetuous. He was a failure in many senses, humanly speaking, from time to time. He was inept in a crisis that came upon him. He hadn't got social graces and gifts. When Jesus was arrested, his faith collapsed. He was a hopeless coward in many senses. Sometimes he said embarrassing things in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, very inappropriate. He made many mistakes before the words of our text this evening, and he would, of course, like us, make many more mistakes in his life. There is hope, though, in the two verses that we began to read this evening, and I'll read them again because they form the basis of my thoughts this evening. Verse 31 and 32, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The scripture is full of Peter, particularly the gospel accounts. After the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of Peter appears more than any other name. No other disciple of the 12 speaks as often as Peter does. So much and so often. The Lord doesn't speak to any other disciple as much as he speaks to Peter, both in times of blame and in times of praise. No other disciple is reproved by the Lord Jesus as much as Peter is in the scripture. And of course, there's no other disciple dares to reprove the Lord Jesus as Peter did. But of course, looking at it another way, there's no other disciple who more boldly confesses the name of the Lord Jesus, openly encourages the Lord, and acknowledges him as the Son of God. There was no other disciple in the biblical accounts who ever intruded or interfered with the Lord's ministry or tempted the Lord as Peter did. The Lord spoke unique words of approval to Peter, but he also spoke harder things to Peter than to anyone else except the betrayer Judas. So we might say that Peter was full of privileges. He was also full of failure, but he was also full of hope. And we could even develop a sermon just on those three points, but we're not going to tonight. But those privileges, the failure of Peter, and the hope he had before him. But we as Christians this evening, we are in a very similar position. If we're subjects of a work of grace in our hearts, we are all privileged. And although we are all failures in our human sinfulness before God, there is hope, like there was for the Apostle Peter. If we've experienced something of the grace of God in our lives, if our hearts have been transformed and been regenerated by the Spirit of God, then there is great hope for us that the Lord will do a great work in our lives. As we look in the scriptures, we find so many of the characters that we love to read about and speak about and preach about. So many of them had periods of great failure in their lives. Not just Peter. We think of David. We think of the abject sin that he fell into and the way he had to come back in such depth of repentance before the Lord as he wrote that lovely psalm, Psalm 51. We think of Noah sinning before God. We think of Abraham with the lies he told. We think of Moses who struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. All these characters of the Word of God, they weren't perfect, they weren't supermen. But for them, as for us, there was a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. And there is still that fountain of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ for those who turn from their sins, that we might know in our hearts that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'd like us to think this evening about Peter under four headings. And they all begin with the letter S. I don't know whether you find that helpful or not. We have some young children in the church in Bradford, and they always try to remember the points that are made, and more particularly if they begin with the same letter, so this evening they do. We're going to think about Peter's sin, and then Peter's support, and then Peter's sanctification, and finally we'll look at Peter's service. And maybe we can examine our own hearts and see how we would fit into these categories. And we're basing our thoughts on verses 31 and 32. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter's sin. Yes, like every man or woman who is born into this earth, Peter was a sinner. The Bible says we're all born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. Peter was a human being who would fall and who would sin just as we do. And here we see the power of sin that Jesus was conscious of and aware of course. Satan hath desired to have you. There was a temptation that would come to Peter because of the activities of Satan. And we do believe in the personality of the devil. We don't believe we're to look for the devil here, there and everywhere, such as some people seem to do, but there is a personal devil. There is an accuser of the brethren. There is an enemy of our souls. There is one who tempts us to sin. Peter, later on, of course, in his ministry, when he wrote his first epistle, he spoke about it there. Didn't he, of course? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is active. But Peter's sin, of course, had a remedy. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan has no rights over us. And Jesus here is saying, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And this is a picture of Peter's faith being shaken, just as flour in a sieve may be shaken if you're baking a cake and the recipe starts with the words that you've got to sieve the flour, and you shake it to get rid of the lumps so that the fine flour goes through the sieve. And this is a picture of what would happen to Peter. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you, that he may shake you. And this comes to all the Lord's people, that we are from time to time shaken. We are sifted like wheat. The Lord allows those things to come into our lives where we're tested and where we're tried. But you notice here what the Lord says. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You see, Peter was not chaff. Peter was wheat. Peter was a child of God. Peter was not the chaff that would be discarded from the sifting. And that's one thing we must always remember, that the Lord's people will never become chaff. They will always be wheat. They will always be the elect of God. And God is always on their side. And those people will ultimately persevere and endure to the end, just as Peter did, despite the terrible falls that we've read about in the word this evening. He was wheat and he was not chaff. Yes, in our lives we have to suffer some sifting, some refining, some times of chastening that are not easy to bear. And when we make many mistakes in our lives, just as Peter did, we say things that we shouldn't, we think things that we shouldn't, we do things that we shouldn't, and we need to come to God and know that there is forgiveness for all those situations. Peter's sin, what sadness it brought into his life. That he could deny the Lord three times, and then he remembered the promise of the Lord that before the cock crew he would deny the Lord three times. No wonder he went out and he wept bitterly, denying the Lord in a public situation. No wonder he could no longer face him. But let's look at Peter's support. Yes, he had sin, but he also had a support. I have prayed for thee. What a wonderful message that is, to hear from the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord says to him, Satan hath desired to have you, meaning you in the plural. The Lord was thinking of all the disciples, all the apostles. Satan has desired to have you all, in other words. But then he turns to Peter and he says, I have prayed for thee. Now the you is plural, the thee is singular. The Bible is very, very precise here. So the Lord is saying, Satan has desired to have all of you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, to Peter. The Lord's prayer for Peter personally. What better support could he have? This refuge to flee to, this anchor that would keep his soul. And when I think of the Lord's prayers, I find myself asking, did the Lord's prayers avail? Yes, they did. Of course they did. We think of our prayers and sometimes we feel that our prayers are not answered. And sometimes we feel we pray and they don't seem to do any more than reach the roof of the chapel. But the Lord's prayers would be perfect prayers. And of course the Lord's prayers would avail and be effective. Both his prayers on earth and his prayers in heaven. And I find that a wonderfully encouraging fact of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that now in heaven, exalted high, at the right hand of God, he continues to pray for his people. Just as he prayed for Peter, I have prayed for thee personally. Even now, in heaven, our great high priest, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, he's able to succor those of us who are tempted, and he's able to pray for us before the throne of God on high. What a great Lord we have. What a great Savior we have. What a great Jesus we have. He is the man in the glory who bears us up before the throne of God on high. He prays for us when tempted. that we might be kept from the evil one. He intercedes for us when we have sinned. He's our advocate with the Father. He presents our prayers to the Father. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. And of course, Charles Wesley, in one of his lovely hymns, which is in this hymn book, he says, the Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood and tells me, I am born of God. Yes, we have a wonderful Lord Jesus. Not one who is hanging on the cross any longer, but one who has risen, ascended, glorified. One who is coming again and one who is alive now at the right hand of God. As Joseph Hart says in one of his hymns, his blood can cleanse the blackest soul and wash our guilt away. He will present us sound and whole in that tremendous day. Now you notice Jesus didn't pray that Peter would be kept from trouble. He didn't pray that. And no wonder in Peter's epistles he speaks about that fiery trial. Don't think it strange that a fiery trial comes upon you. Those pilgrims and strangers who are on their way to the heavenly city, yes, they will be tried. They will come across difficulties. But Jesus says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That was the quality of Peter's faith. It was a faith that was built upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus. I remember some years ago, some friends and myself were travelling a lot down in East Anglia in the Fen country, where the land is very flat, of course. And we had an idea that we went down there so frequently, we would buy a house down there and share the cost between us. And I remember we saw this house and we thought we'd have a look. There was nobody in it, it was empty and it was up for sale. And we thought we'd just go and have a look around the grounds. But we found the doors were actually open. So rather naughtily, we went in to have a look at the house to see what it was like. And it was quite a frightening experience, because in the Fen country, a lot of the land is very peaty and very unstable. And this house had actually begun to sink. And it was actually quite frightening. You could go in some of the rooms and the doors were already swinging half open because of the structure was giving way. So obviously we got out quickly. And the next time we passed that property, it wasn't to be seen because it had collapsed. And there was just a heap of rubble where the house had finally given way. And it was a good job we didn't invest any money in it, because it would have been an entire waste of money. But there it was just a heap of rubble, and you could just see where the land had been, the house had gone. There was nothing firm to stand on or to build anything on. You see, Peter's faith was firm. Despite the fact that he had sinned, despite the fact he had denied the Lord, he had what we might call the root of the matter. He had reality. And friends, tonight, if we have that reality, the storms of life may come and beat upon us. But if our faith is like Peter's faith, firm on the rock, that faith will never be daunted and never be overcome. Peter's support, the Lord Jesus Christ, I have prayed for thee. Then thirdly, we think of Peter's sanctification, and perhaps it's not a very good word to use. I should have really called it Peter's restoration, but I was so determined to keep to the same letter heading, so I called it Peter's sanctification, but perhaps it should be his restoration. And when thou art converted, Jesus said to him. And that word converted, actually it means turned around. We use the word converted in respect of a person coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people refer to it as being born again or being made aware that you're a subject of grace. And that word can mean all sorts of things. But when we look at some of the other versions of the scripture, the NIV translates it as when you have turned back. The New King James Version says when you have returned to me. And the Derby translation says, when thou hast been restored. So I rather like that last one, when thou hast been restored. The thought is that although Peter had fallen, he would be restored. He would be brought back. He was already saved from the penalty of sin, but he would be saved from the power of sin. He would be brought back. He would learn lessons. The Holy Spirit would sanctify him. Yes, he fell badly. He wept bitterly. But still, we rest on the Lord's promise. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, a kingdom was appointed for Peter. A kingdom is appointed for each one of us if we're the Lord's children. A kingdom where we will eat and drink. A kingdom of thrones and judgments. And sometimes as we think rather negatively of Peter, if we just looked in another chapter, another verse of Luke, a little earlier than the chapter we read, Peter was one of the ones who the Lord included in those words, "Ye are those who have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." So in that same chapter where Peter is falling, where he's denying the Lord Jesus, the Lord has still said to him, "You've continued with me in my temptations." And though he had fallen, and though we fall from time to time, and we may feel very unsanctified from time to time, yet the Lord will restore us. Peter had to retrace his steps. He had to turn again. And so must we if we're in that position. Sometimes we go through those depths and difficulties and trials. Sometimes, like Job, we feel that there's no end to it. But then Job comes to the end of his book, his experience, and he says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Peter had to turn back and repent. And upon that repentance, he received that lovely restoration. God delights in restoring his fallen children. But then our final thought is Peter's service for the Lord. Verse 32, "Strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, when thou art restored, strengthen thy brethren." And of course, that's exactly what Peter did. He would be the spokesman for the early church. He wasn't the first pope. We don't believe anything like that. But he was a spokesman for the early church. He was a leader in the early church. He had a prime position amongst the apostles. We know that he visited Rome. We think that he died by martyrdom there in round about AD 67. But he had service for the Lord. Part of the canon of Scripture, of course, is ascribed to Peter. He went on to lead God's people. His character was strengthened. And what a character he had. He had great gifts of mind. He had a force of character. He had a warmth of heart. He had a generosity of utterance. He wasn't an Apostle Paul. Of course he wasn't. He was a fisherman. He had a Galilean accent, which rather gave the game away in the judgment hall. He wasn't an academic, but he was a mighty man of God who was called to service in the Lord's kingdom. And through the deep waters that he passed, he was able to strengthen others in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thinking on to his latter days, I'm sure Peter would have told others how the Lord had helped him. I think he would have told others about his stumblings and his failure. How that he would have told others about his denial of the Lord and how the Lord had helped him and brought him through. He no doubt had told others about his experiences in the Gospel of John chapter 21, where the Lord Jesus commanded him to feed my sheep, and three times he asked him if he loved him and commanded Peter to go and serve the Lord, this service we're speaking about, feeding his sheep. And despite all his past errors, Peter knew the one who makes all things new. He would be changed from one degree of glory to another. And may we be encouraged tonight. We may not be Peter's, we may not be Paul's, but we are individuals whom the Lord has set his love upon if we're the Lord's children. And the Lord can do a great and mighty work in our hearts. And may we be inspired this evening. I'm sure Peter, in years to come, he would think of all these experiences In his epistle, of course, he recalls the experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, we heard the voice from the excellent glory. Thinking of that time on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord was transfigured before his eyes and he heard that voice speaking out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Peter would remember all these things. We may look back on our lives remembering all sorts of situations as long as we learn from them. As long as we know that God is with us, working in us and through us to the praise of the glory of his name. May the Lord bless these few thoughts this evening and encourage each one of us in the things of God for his name's sake. Amen.